We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. As we told you, the Antonio Brown press conference is underway. Bad timing. I mean, he was a half hour late. It happened right at our top. We will catch you up on what you missed. Pete and I were both taking notes, but I do want to go back to it live now. Antonio Brown is at the table along with John Gruden and new GM Mike Mayock. Let's listen in live on ESPN.
And his knowledge is so amazing. He did his homework on me. He done seen every play I played in, every interception. He got the details. He's a highly professional guy. Always make sure you're highly prepared. He covered every variables when he studied players. I'm just sitting with him. He spoke to 16 interceptions. He don't want to talk about what you do well. He always want to focus on the things that we could do to be even much that much more better. And when you have a coach like that, you know, it's like your dad. You know, you want to be around him because, you know, he's not going to build you up for what you're doing. You know, he's going to encourage you on how you always could get better. And when you got a guy like that who always going to help you improve and grow, that's the type of guy you want to be around. And that's the type of guy you want to play for. And back to what you say, your other questions. For me to be here in Oakland, a part of the Oakland Raiders, and be able to be on the last team that's ever be here in Oakland is something special in itself. So it's pressure in that, it's excitement in that, and there's a lot that come with that. And I'm here today ready to embrace all that.
Coach Gruden, Kyle Martin, Raiders.com. You know, after coaching Jerry Rice and Tim Brown and obviously knowing everything there is to know about Raiders' historical wide receivers, what excites you, aside from the obvious reasons, about Antonio and what he can do with Derek?
Well, I get excited because of where this man comes from. I think the sixth round, it wasn't a Division I. He did it the hard way. And he's done everything in his power to be the best he can possibly be on and off the field. His body of work is not only impressive, it's fun to watch. He's electrifying after the catch. He's a great competitor. He wins the 50-50 ball. He's outstanding in short areas. You have a great imagination as a football coach when you coach a man like this. He can play split end. He can play flanker. He can play in the slot. He can return punts and sell popcorn at halftime. We're excited about this guy. And we're going to put him to good work. And he's got his whole army here with him. And he's got Otto and Ali. And I'm going to get all Apollo. I'm going to get all these young Browns to work here, too. But just the life that he has, his enthusiasm to play, is contagious. And when we signed Antonio Brown, you would be shocked at how many other players have wanted to come along with them. It's really been a really great experience.
We've heard that before.
Antonio, I'm Andrea Costa with the NFL Network. Here, Coach Gruden talking about your family, obviously here supporting you. How much was it part of your decision to make sure that they were in the best environment and in the best fit for you?
That's the most important key. You know, at this point, you know, it's all about family. Making sure the family in the right environment. And Coach Gruden has been nothing but family, welcoming my family, even acknowledging and knowing my family, just speak tremendous volumes of what type of person he is outside the business. And when you have a guy who know your family, who shares that type of love with you, you're going to put your heart on the line for him. They give him whatever it takes for us to be in a great situation, because now he's my family, we want family, and we're here for Raider Nation. To give them our all and be the best we can be.
As for Mike, a two-part question. How much have you improved your offense the last few days? And is running back still something you're looking for? Or is that what's the need there, I guess, at running back?
Mike Mayock,
yeah, I think the moment Antonio walks in our building, we get better on offense. I think our quarterback gets better. I think our offensive line gets better. I think the entire football team gets better. And I'm talking about on Sundays, and I'm talking about having an alpha male in the locker room. Uh-oh. 7 days a week. That's what I believe, okay? Yes. As far as the running back situation is concerned, we're always looking to get better, I mean, at every position. So, you know, free agency is starting to draw slowly to a close over the next couple days and weeks, and we'll focus ahead on the draft at every position.
So Antonio Brown's press conference, man. You're listening to it live at 99.3 ESPN.
Coach and I watched an awful lot of film on Trent with the entire coaching staff. And if you watch him in the playoffs against the Chargers, watch him against Kansas City, the teams we have to play in our division, watch him play football in those games, and you come away saying, regardless of whether he's a left tackle or a right tackle, and we're not even going to address that today, the bottom line is we got way better on our offensive line, and we're Derek Carr got better, Antonio Brown got better, the whole team got better.
My name is Scott Baer from NBC Sports, and my question is for Mike. Take us back, as you're talking to the Steelers and talking to Drew about acquiring Antonio, was there ever a point earlier in the week where you were pessimistic about the opportunity of getting him, and maybe take us through that versus when you were actually able to seal the deal and bring him here?
Well, we weren't even in on the process until Friday, okay? And, you know, I'm not going to get into specifics, but the bottom line is I think Pittsburgh wanted a certain pick. We weren't going to be able to get there. When that deal fell through with Buffalo, we got involved. And I'll tell you a couple things. I thought Kevin Colbert from Pittsburgh did a great job in getting this thing closed. I think Drew Rosenhaus was amazing because there were some times where I wasn't sure where we were going to get there or not, okay? And anytime you've got a high-profile negotiation like this, and there are points to be made by both sides, and you've got to get through some things. And Drew did a great job keeping this thing alive. And I've never seen a better connection between a player and a coach when these two got together. I mean, John had 400 clips of Antonio in the office. I walked in this morning. The two of them were sitting in there like little kids watching 400 cut-ups of Antonio. Everything he did. Everything. I mean, they were like little kids in a laboratory. And that's why we're so excited.
The truth is Mark Davis invited Mike and I and our wives to an event in Las Vegas. So true. I was excited to get Mike out of the building. We went to Las Vegas. It was a great event. Mandy Mayock, my wife Cindy, and I, instead of having a nice double date, we dated Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown. Never saw our wives, but it's as happy as Cindy and Mandy have been since we've known them, and Antonio agreed. So we thank you, brother.
Thank you,
bro. True story.
John, the moves you guys have made, how does that sort of speed up the process of getting this team back to where you want it?
Well, you know, it's there's a lot of urgency. I hope people feel that since I've been here. I mean, I think every coach in the league would express the same thing. We have obvious areas on this roster that we want to improve. And Mike Mayock being here, I don't want to, you know, make him mad, but he's made a huge impact on this organization since he's been here. This trade has his fingerprints all over it. We're going to make a couple more moves, I do believe, in free agency that have his fingerprints all over it. It's been a blast. But we've gotten better. We have some resources in the draft to continue that process. And as I said all along, I don't think you can rush this. You got to do what you deem is right. Players don't become available all the time. You can't make all the necessary improvements. It takes a little bit of time. But we're confident that we're headed in the right direction.
All right, that is John Gruen, the head coach of the Raiders. One year down in his 10-year, $100 million deal. Antonio Brown, whom they just traded for from the Steelers. And Mike Mayock, the brand-new GM who just took over, came out of the TV booth to become a first-time GM. That didn't work for Matt Millen when he did it, but he's going to give it a go with the Raiders.
Couple anyway. Of observations. One, I hope somebody asks Mayock or maybe Antonio about the Buffalo Bills situation. I think that would be fascinating to see how close that came. Did Antonio just say, no, I ain't going there. Don't waste my time. I'll hold out. That type of thing. And two, John Gruden, I don't know if you know this, but the Chippewas of Central Michigan are a Division I school. You made it appear. He said, it wasn't even D1 when he came out of college. No, the Central Michigan Chippewas are a Division I school. Oh. A few other things. The alpha male comment that we just heard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Caught my attention.
We heard Antonio Brown say, Steeler Nation is having a bad day.
Well, yeah, him and Le'Veon Bell are gone.
Antonio talked about himself. He's made people feel great and inspired, quote unquote. And then my favorite, you know, it was coming. It was God's plan. And Tony Brown, quote, God's plan that he ended up with the Oakland Raiders.
Very interesting.
Yeah, right.
Let's elaborate on the alpha male. It was Mike Mayock that said it will be good to have an alpha male in the locker room. Boy, be careful what you wish for. That's the first thing I thought of. That's a ridiculous comment.
Because alpha male can be turned into another bad war with an A after a couple of months if things aren't going well.
Yeah, you're right. And again, I would like more information on that Bills deal, like you just said.
I want to know.
They alluded to it. Mike Mayock said they were not even involved until the Bills deal fell apart.
I'd like to know about Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills. You know how?
That's surprising.
That deal was done, according to at least Ian Rappaport, and he was done up until, I just think that part of the whole thing is the most fascinating, how close it actually came.
I like the part where Antonio Brown was asked about his thoughts on playing with Derek Carr, and the first adjective he used was, it'll be refreshing. if that's not a dig on Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know what. And by the way, Ben Roethlisberger with two Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, and God forbid, because Juju Schuster was open more, maybe because Antonio Brown was on the field. Because he's a me guy. I'm talking about Antonio. He's not a win guy. He's a me guy. He's a stat guy. It doesn't matter if the team won. He didn't get his catches and yards and touchdowns. You know, his presence out there draws a lot of attention, opens up other things for other players sometimes. But no, we don't want that. We just want me.
Not only did he take a backhanded dig at Ben Roethlisberger, he also did with Mike Tomlin as well, because he went into detail of how John Gruden is all about the details and how it's going to be really great to work for a coach like that, meaning Mike Tomlin really doesn't dig into the details that much. That's what I took out of it anyway.
Yeah. I'm
disappointed. Where is creepy Mark Davis today?
I don't know.
Is he getting a haircut?
Obviously,
getting the bowl worked on or what?
Getting the bank, emptying the bank vault. Some money.
I don't know if the check is cleared.
One other thing. Diana Rossini, just a few minutes ago, says, if the Dolphins kick in $1 million or two more, the Saints are going to bow out and he'll go to Miami.
Teddy Bridgewater, that is.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So that's more movement today. And anything that happens today is official. The legal tampering period was over at 4 o'clock, an hour and 15 minutes ago. So everything that you hear is a done deal. It's all good. I do like Antonio Brown's suit today. It's very bizarre.
It's a navy suit with a burgundy and white check.
It's good. That's
checkerboard.
It's a couple
and
grand.
And an interesting
more.
Shirt
very nice
to
suit.
Go with
nice
it.
Nice polo
it's
underneath.
It's a polo, isn't it?
Yeah.
With a color,
I like that. I do
multi-colored
like the outfit.
Collar and a white polo.
Digging the outfit.
Yeah, it looks good.
About it.
His kids are screaming in the background throughout the whole thing.
Hate that.
Nice normal colored mustache.
Yeah, normal color mustache. Good point. Yeah.
Anyway.
Here's an interesting stat from Sporting News. The Browns tweeted about Odell Beckham Jr. 7 times in the first hour of the new NFL season. The Giants tweeted about Odell Beckham Jr. 0 times.
Well, why would the Giants tweet about that?
I'm trying to think in...
By the way, 239 that said listener feedback, that was a boring press conference. I'm going to tell you something. That's the biggest story in sports. You've got John Gruden, who's never dull, Mike Mayock, first-time GM, and Antonio Brown, who you never know what he's going to say. And by the way, reading in between the lines, said a lot today. That was anything but a boring press conference. Maybe you're not a Raiders fan. Maybe you're not a Steelers fan. But that was definitely worth going to. Fact.
Maybe Creepy Mark is still in Vegas.
That's what Chris in his car just texted in the roulette table trying to make payroll.
Yeah, how about that? And by the way, I think that's bad form for them to be at an Oakland press conference and say,
Vegas.
We were in Vegas the other day when we finally put the deal together for Antonio Brown. I thought that was poor form.
It is, but...
For Raider Nation fan.
Yeah, I mean...
They're going to run into
it's inevitable. They're going... Next year, the following year, whatever it is, they're going.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
I think it's fascinating, and could it blow up in their face? You better believe it.
He catches 3 balls in a game and go, where are my throws?
But could also end up being, Williams, and Chris said at the top of the hour, new other wide receiver they got, 4 years, $44 million, 22 guaranteed. So, I mean, it's nice. It's great. I still wonder what Derek Carr – that kind of chemistry is going to be like.
It's a solid receiving group. I mean, AB, Tyrell Williams,
yep.
Jordy Nelson as your number three. He's not a slot guy.
I thought we determined Jordy's no longer with us.
Kurt Schefter. He's still there.
Who's their running back right now?
Doug Martin still and Marshawn Lynch.
Yep.
I figure Marshawn's not coming back. Maybe he is.
No, he is.
Okay.
He's coming back for another year.
Okay. All right, we'll see. And they got a new tackle, and all right, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, the running backs right now, they got Marshawn Lynch, Doug Martin, and Jalen Richards there.
I believe it's Rashard.
Is it Rashard?
I think it is.
Okay.
Not positive on that. I just remember Third Scat string. Hansen.
Out of Southern Miss. That might be Rashard.
Yeah.
Yep, might be some. There's always a little bit of French influence down in Mississippi and Louisiana. There is.
Oui.
Rashard.
All right. Raiders got their three Super Bowl trophies all shined up in the background behind AB.
God's plan.
He did say, well, you know, everything we do is God's plan, Pete.
Oh, yeah, I know. It cracks me up. I agree. It cracks me up when professional athletes think that they're there because of the Almighty, whoever God you believe in.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Whatever.
That's why we got free will.
Or is it whoever? What pronoun would you use there?
Whatever.
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 It just cracks me up. Yeah. Where was God planned for him to sit out against the Bengals?
Yes, because it was his plan for the Ravens to make the playoffs.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Which I think if the Steelers had won that game, the Ravens still would have gone, but
yeah.
Anywho.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it was not a win and in situation. It was a win and need help situation. So ESPN's done carrying it as well, even though it's still going on. They're back to the table of nine. Trey Wingo leading the way.
Made people feel great and inspired. That's a quote from Antonio Brown.
From Antonio Brown?
Yep. What's Brewski doing there? Get out of here, Brewski.
Patriot.
No way. Leave him alone.
Patriot Nation.
Probably the most logical person there.
No, Louis Riddick is sitting there.
Oh, Louis Riddick's good.
He's the most. I want him to be the Dolphins GM. Well, I'll give Chris Greer a shot.
Well, you're moving fast.
Then go get Lewis.
You're moving fast.
Teddy Bridgewater, if the Dolphins kicking another million or two.
So
he's
I
there.
Need to start accepting this.
We'll see.
We'll
I
see.
Do.
It's not done.
But I think it's better than 50-50. Better than 50-50, I think.
Is there a song by called God's Plan by Drake that
the listeners
are calling for it?
I was already on it, 239. Thank you, though.
All right. So coming up.
Between that or black and yellow, just to give the Pittsburgh Steeler fan out there a little lift today. No, a lift.
Oh, a lift.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, totally
guys,
sensitive.
It's a bad day. They've just seen Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown go to other teams.
And you know what? If I had Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown leaving the Dolphins, I'd want to hear the Miami Dolphins fight song.
All right.
So I was going to, you know, I'm not into throwing stones anymore, guys.
Pittsburgh has a fight song, too.
I've turned the page.
Really? Have you?
I live in a glass house. I get it. Yeah. I can't talk bad about another NFL organization. I got the Dolphins. It's a race to the number one pick in 2020 between Miami and the Giants.
Absolutely.
And
I gotta
tell everybody.
Neither of you are close to that
Giants
number one pick. No
are
way.
In the pole position to get the number one pick in next year's draft.
No, they are not. The Cincinnati Bungles are. I'm telling you, that's my pick right now. They will be the number one worst team in the NFL this year.
See, 6-3-1, we're on the same page here. Dolphins should experiment with Christian Hackenberg. That's what I'm talking about.
He can't even stay in an AAF game.
That's my point.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yes.
Yes. All right. All right. Reaction to today's NFL news, 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776. I still have, for the end of our show, guys, top 10 game-winning shots for March Madness to have a little fun, to lighten the mood a little bit. We'll release that, and I think Drake around the corner. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
You think.
And the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
God's plan. God's plan. I hold back, sometimes I won't.
Antonio Brown said it was God's plan, and he's a Raider. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN. Every Drake song sounds the same, by the way. FYI.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it really does. He's got this little monotone little talking. He doesn't sing. He doesn't rap. Everything's got a good beat to it, and every song sounds the same. Fact. Sorry.
Just real quick, because
you got wider
college troops. So the Trojans finished 10th in the regular season in the conference. Only the Cougars of Washington State and the California Golden Bears were worse. They just upset Arizona. Although Arizona's only one part of it. Actually, it wasn't really an upset.
No, Arizona's not very good this year.
No, they're not.
It's, what, but, it's amazing what happens when you can't offer $100,000 to all the five-star recruits out there.
Can't recruit,
but they're
going to
play Washington now. There isn't anybody in the Pac-12 right now in the top 25.
What is that, a one-bid conference? I think the SoCon is looking at him like, dude, y'all need to get your basketball game up to
par.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The top team in the Pac-12 is not in the top 25.
They should give up as a conference. Football and basketball.
It's the conference of used to be champions. Like, their football is atrocious. Can we go that far? Is it really bad?
They're not even in the top, the 12. You know, the AP poll, they do the 12 teams after that get votes. They're not even in that. So they're at least 37th in the AP poll. Coaches poll a little bit better, USA Today.
The Pac-12 network is floundering. They're not getting picked up on DirecTV or major cable networks.
I have the Pac-12 network. It's the only station. It's the only sports station I have on Xfinity that's not high def.
It's atrocious. Like, they
how
don't,
does that happen?
Now, they do not have a deal with DirecTV. You know who already has a deal with DirecTV?
ACC
right network. On. It's not even broadcasting yet over the airwaves. It's only digitally. But next, I believe August is when it launches. The ACC network will have a home on DirecTV. Pac-12 network, which is what, 6 years old?
Yeah.
Will not?
It's awful. It's an awful network.
Just be online.
There's nothing. I hate it. I mean, I watch some games on. It's the only time I'll ever watch low def. It's awful.
It's
awful. And you're right. ACC network will kill it next year, as does the SEC network.
What? Are we talking about? Who's the commissioner out there? I mean, something serious needs to be done.
Larry Scott.
Something serious needs to be done, particularly with the two Los Angeles schools.
Yeah.
They are heaps of mess right now. And I don't know if Chip Kelly's going to clean up UCLA. And, who's the guy at USC right now?
You know who's going to coach UCLA? Luke Walton.
I'm talking football.
I thought we were talking basketball.
Been bad at UCLA for a long time. Helton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Clay Helton.
Clay Helton. Thank you.
I mean, they can't. They're losing offensive coordinators to the. Like, it's so bad in the Pac-12 right now. It's embarrassing.
Here are the Huskies at the top college group. 24-7, 15-3 in their conference. They're not in the top 25. Mm. They're the only Power 5 school that doesn't have a top 25 team. How is that possible? Arizona State second, by the way. 21-9.
I think the athletic department out west that has their act together the most.
Washington?
Okay, I was going to say Oregon.
Okay.
But I think that's a close one, too. I think if Bol Bol hadn't gotten hurt at the beginning of the year, they're, Oregon would have been a fun team to watch throughout the season.
They still might win it. Who knows? They're 10-8 in the conference and 19-12 on the year.
I think they're going to be slightly overrated coming into next football season. Oregon, that is. But they're still the best thing that they've got to offer.
Yeah.
Now that Washington is losing a bunch of their offensive weapons.
When's the last time a Pac-12 team heading into conference tournament, not the NCAA, was not ranked in the top 25? I'd love to know that
not
stat.
Not one?
Probably never. Probably never.
Gotta be never.
Like last year, you had Arizona holding the conference up.
If it's not that, it's Utah or it's UCLA. Even USC's had its run. Cal, Jalen Brown's years.
Are Stanford and Cal, can they do anything to fix it? I don't know, man. It's awful.
Just give up.
Awful.
Bad attitude guy texting in. Drake is the Nickelback of rap.
Whoa.
Undeserved popularity relative to their talent, and they're both Canadian.
Why does Nickelback? I think I know a couple Nickelbacks on, but why do they get a bad rap? Why does Nickelback get a bad rap?
Because it's rock that went mainstream, so guys who like real rock and roll don't respect them. But Chad Kroeger has made more money in his career than like any other rock star ever. So it's tough to argue with what Nickelback has done.
Exactly.
I don't like their music, personally.
I do.
But to each his own.
Yeah.
Not going to hate on the on the guy for making a little cheddar.
All right. Do we want to do my list?
Yes, I do want to do your list.
I really love bagging on the Pac-12, though.
It is fun.
It's a lot of fun.
It's sad, though. It's not good for college basketball.
It's not good for college football, either. Do you know how great it would be after we get done with that 8 o'clock ABC game every Saturday night to have a good Pac-12 game to go to?
No. Do you know how much stronger Pete's playoff expansion argument could be if a Pac-12 was good?
Yes. Killing me.
Killing me, Smalls.
Absolutely. I still don't forgive Smart for that stupid fake punt.
You have Washington that's been holding up that conference with football. And like I said, I think Oregon will be good next year.
I hope so. They won't be. Though.
Washington was legitimately out of the national championship conversation last year, the college football playoff conversation. They got blown out by Auburn. Then Auburn goes in an SEC play. Auburn's good. Not great. Yeah. A good SEC team. Washington's rolling through everyone in the Pac-12. They score 9 points or 10 points in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, and then it gets Washington State, who laid an egg against Washington in that game. At least we wanted Mike Leach, somebody excited. They lay an egg.
Why is Boise State not banging down the doors of Pac-12 offices saying,
What about Gonzaga? Gonzaga at St. Mary's.
Add the Zags and add... Boise State.
Gonzaga doesn't want to go to the Pac-12. They're probably perfectly – Mark Few's probably – They're probably happy where they're at.
Yeah, because they can go and play nobodies all season long and still get a one seed from Lenardi.
You're right. Yep.
It's a joke.
You're right.
They should be down to a two line.
I think so. They didn't beat – I mean
– give the Big Ten champion, as long as it's Michigan State or Michigan, give them one of the ones.
Yeah, not Purdue. Yeah,
or Purdue. They deserve it.
Sean Miller wouldn't comment on his future at the press conference just now.
I could comment on his future.
He made a speech. He played it.
It's bleak. He doesn't. It's not going to be long.
The Seahawks have re-signed linebacker Michael Kendricks.
Breaking news!
Who's convicted of insider trading, and I thought was going to serve time.
So did I.
Not breaking news.
So that's something, right?
Good luck.
Hey, Michael. Yeah, no, I know you're still locked up, but here. I'm going to email you the game plan for 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Once you get out, and if you could start catching up on that, that'd be great. Like, how does that conversation go?
And do my taxes, too, while you're at it.
All right, let's do your
All right, here we go. This is a compilation list on one of our prep services, and I wish I could properly credit this idea. It originally was a top 25. I just picked the top 10 to keep it pithy.
Yeah.
All right, these are the top 10 game-winning shots.
Oh, they have to be game-winning shots, not just great shots.
The greatest shots in NCAA tournament history. Oh, so presumably most of them are game winners, but let's run down the list.
It doesn't have to be the finals. It doesn't have to
Correct.
Be the finals.
Correct.
Chris Jenkins on this list.
I want to give you a four.
Why don't you guys throw me a couple? We'll see if they're on here.
All right. First is Christian Laettner. He's going to be on there.
He's on there somewhere.
Yeah, okay. The one I'm going to give you, Wittenberg's shot to Lorenzo Charles on the dunk. NC State wins it on the dunk.
That's on there.
Okay.
Is MJ on there?
He's on there. You guys just named four of the ten.
Key Smart.
He's on there.
Is the Valpo shot on there?
Yep, that's six. Okay. You guys are six for six.
This might not be on there, but it should be. Austin Crozier, Providence versus Marquette, 1998. Inbounding ball right before halftime, Craig did.
Oh, Pete just ruined it.
It was with your Northeastern sabotage.
No, it was a more than it was almost 89 feet swish at the buzzer at halftime, though. No. That's probably not on there.
Wasn't on the top 10.
It should be on there.
All right, hold on. So I'm three.
The UConn shot against Clemson. I forget who took it back in like 1990 or 91. It was a game winner. It was a player for the Blue Jays, too. What's his name? Is that on there? Anything
for player
UConn?
For the Blue Jays? Your general manager of the Boston Celtics,
Danny Ainge
did make the top 25 from a 1981 shot as a basketball player.
And I know what it was. I was there. It was against UCLA. No, it wasn't against UCLA. It was against Notre Dame.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we named six.
Well, that one's not in the top 10. It's top 25.
Okay.
You were on the phone. I cut it to 10 to keep it pithy, and now we only got 3 minutes for the segment anyway. So, all right, here it is. At number 10,
Michael Jordan couldn't crack the top nine. Michael Jordan's
yeah, but he made
game
the top
winner
10.
For the Tar Heels.
It's a banner.
1982 Raise for the championship.
Should have lost that game.
That's number 10.
Yeah, there were a lot of national championships Georgetown should have won, but they didn't.
Number nine, True. Bryce Drew. That. Valpo beating yeah. Ole Miss in 1998. Great. Number eight on the list, Jerome Whitehead. It was a three-quarter court inbound
what
pass.
Whatever happened.
Turned around and hit the shot. Sends Marquette to the national final yeah. in 1977. Number seven.
They won it, by the way. It was Al McGuire's team. They
yes,
won it.
It was.
Yep.
Number seven. This was not a game-winning shot. These were free throws. Remember Bo Kimball?
Of course.
Shooting him left-handed.
First yeah. teammate that
Honor
died.
Honor Hank Gathers, Hank who Gathers. Died. Yep. That was 1990.
Made me sick to my stomach as a kid.
Number six, Mario Chalmers, three-pointer with 2.1 seconds to go in regulation. Did not win the 2008 National Championship game for Kansas, but it did force overtime.
I need to apologize to everybody in Southwest Florida. I should have come up with that. That's on me. I'm going to shoulder that one.
Okay. What about Tyus Edney?
Derrick Rose, hand down, man down.
Hand down, man down. At number five, I would put this at number one.
Oh, Indiana.
Keith Smart, game-winning shot against Syracuse to win the title in 1987.
No. Is Luke May on this list?
No.
For game-winning shots?
Or, yeah.
Not the top 10.
Okay.
No. What's also a secondary story in that game is the Mason Convention solo act that Derek Coleman put up at the free throw line that night.
Thank
clang,
you,
clang,
Derek Mason.
Clang, clang. Although Syracuse missed also, free throws, clangity, clang, clang.
That's right.
Wow, I'm noticing a theme here. Pete gets really upset when Big East teams lose national championships, which happened often.
Well, no, I wish they had claimed more free throws when they played Providence in the game before in the Final Four, but they didn't.
Number four, yep. The most impressive shots in the NCAA tournament. Tyus Edney going coast to coast as UCLA beats Missouri at the Horn 1995.
Shout out 317 called that on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line.
Thank you.
Yes, and how about, and I haven't seen the list. Is the Princeton upset of UCLA on there, which happened at the last second?
Not in the top three that we have left.
Well,
no,
right. It should be. That was
these are big boy shots.
No, so
these
I think we've guessed a big the boy three. Shot. Haven't
this
we?
Was a game winner too.
We've Princeton got upset. The three. Now what order? Yeah, you have guessed the three.
Okay, so Leitner's got to be one, right?
Well, I'll continue with my list. Right. Fanfare, please. And number three, the Wolfpack. Charles turning Derek Wittenberg from North Carolina State.
Lorenzo Charles,
1983. Lorenzo Charles was there to make the catch, the put-in. Jim Valvano, the Wolfpack at number three in 1983.
One of my favorite games of all time. Sorry, Akeem.
Number two on the list, Villanova, Chris Jenkins. Nailing the big shot against the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Ouch.
And Marcus Page hit what should have gone down as the most spectacular shot in national championship game history. Fact, look it up. It was an unbelievable shot, 33 feet from the basket, hanging, pump fakes in the air, and throws something up, and he makes it. It was unbelievable.
You left too much time on the clock.
Oh, we left way too much time on the clock, but I was jumping around my house, acting like an idiot. I didn't have kids at that point, so I'm screaming, and then Chris Jenkins comes, and he takes my heart, it's in his hands, and he doesn't even drop it to the ground. He takes both sides of it, and he slowly rips it apart. Oh, my gosh. And then they had to go to the replay review. It was a good shot, Jim Nance. Let's just go home. I turned the TV off, and I drank heavily.
Wow. And number one of the greatest shot in NCAA tournament history, 1992, Duke, Kentucky, Christian Laettner with the turnaround jump shot at the Horn.
Yep.
There you have it.
That was the lowest moment of my fandom life.
Which one?
Chris Jenkins.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't alive for Laettner.
Yeah.
I think I was, but I don't remember.
92?
I was two. Okay. I was one. I hadn't turned two yet. But, that Chris Jenkins shot was the low point of my fan career.
But didn't you win, like, the year before or the year after?
Which no, one? We won the year before and the one year after. So, there's that. But still, it really
softens the blow?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, Craig. You've never lost a national championship on a buzzer beater.
Fact.
Especially a 3-1, a 2. Oh, my gosh. I can't even talk about it. It's really – it. That shot and the Austin Rivers lucky-ass banked in 3 at Chapel Hill, those two lowest points. Pick.
I've never seen a guy's stock go up in so
because he
time.
Banked in a three.
Yeah, he made a lot of money on that.
Just
shot.
A joke.
He sure did. Was the Princeton upset at UCLA? That was the last second. That was a huge upset.
Did not make the top 10, Pete Shepard.
What about the top 25? You have the top 25?
I'll have to look at
that. No big deal. But that I bet you that's on there. That was a huge. Not the one where they almost beat Georgetown in 85. The one where they did beat UCLA. And UCLA was a top ranked team.
Yeah.
Not a 16-1, but it was a pretty significant upset.
Listen to Chris breathing. He's still steaming about the Jenkins shot. He got all fired up.
He's probably looking at it now.
He's probably going to drink tonight just to kind of help
wait till
the
Bridgewater,
pain a little bit.
I predict before we go to bed, Bridgewater will be a Dolphin.
And I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think it's good.
Okay. I do want to see him get a starting job and see what he can do. I am curious about that. All right, guys, that seems like that's a show. We'll come back.
I really don't like that's how we ended it.
Well,
I do.
Well, you can brighten it up because we got what you got next, and you are 7-2 out of the last 9 days on your new feature, giving us a Stone Cold Lock pick. 7-2. It's making money.
Mm-hmm.
That's next. What you got? Sheeman
Chris
Shepherd,
Jenkins.
99.3 ESPN.
Big East.
99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What You Got brought to you by Twin Peaks. At every Twin Peaks, you'll find wall-to-wall TV, scratch food, and the signature 29-degree beer served by the best-in-class Twin Peaks girls. Welcome to your new local spot for sports and scenic views. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
Awesome.
Today is March 13th. On this day in history, in 1915, so math tells me this is 104 years ago.
Yes.
Wilbert Robinson.
Billy.
No, well, Wilbert.
Willie.
I'm throwing it out.
Willie was a 52-year-old manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Bert.
He agreed to catch a baseball from a low-flying airplane piloted by female aviatrix Ruth Law. The Dodgers recruited Law to help execute the ball drop. Law substituted a baseball with a grapefruit, and apparently this was big news in 1915. Like, big promotional stunt to kick off the season.
Did he catch it?
No word. I don't know. Things get lost details over time, over 100 years.
What are you talking about?
I don't
know if he caught the grapefruit?
I don't know if he caught it or not. I just know it was a grapefruit.
You told us the first part of the story, but then you didn't give us the payoff.
Well, it's a 100-year cliffhanger, Chris.
It's a 104-year cliffhanger, and I want to know if he caught the damn grapefruit.
It does remind me, however, of the WKRP in Cincinnati turkey drop.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Thanksgiving Day. Turkeys can't fly, by the way.
One of the classic episodes of all time on that very underrated show, by the way.
Oh, underrated. It was fantastic all the way around. All right, Pete Shepherd, what you got? You going to update our Twin Peaks Twitter poll?
Yes, I am. By the way, Adam Schefter was now eating a sandwich on the set, and this is where they start to do in Bristol what they like. They want to be all natural.
Schefter cam.
And Schefter's eating a sandwich.
Look at that. They got a side Schefter cam on the side of this deal. Schefter behind the scenes, behind the nine-person table.
He got up.
Huh. Oh, he's texting feverish.
Something's going on.
He's answering your text.
I just text what he's eating. Okay, here's the poll. Who got fleeced harder? This is at 99.3 ESPN, AB, AB and Oak to Oakland, OBJ to Cleveland. Who got fleeced harder? Steelers, 73%. And was it worth it for Le'Veon Bell to sit out last season? 86% say no.
Faith texting in. She's very upset that I didn't close the story out on the grapefruit.
I am too. Why didn't I open it up?
All right, this must be Coleman. Coleman is being shown on television right now, and Adam Schefter just came running.
Tevin Coleman, that is running back for the
signing with the 49ers. Falcons. There it is.
Oh, that's a great addition for them.
Yes, it is.
Well, they were in the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes for a half
and
a minute.
Tevin Coleman with Kyle Shanahan when he was the offensive coordinator with the Falcons.
Absolutely. That's a great pickup. He's a good back.
I agree.
Well, weapons for Jimmy G. That's a good signing there.
All right. I'm going to look up this Wilbert Robinson, see if he made the catch. Chris, what you got?
Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
It comes right up on Twitter. First thing, Wilbert Robinson, type in his name, grapefruit comes up.
I try to keep pace with Chris.
239 is like, P.S. Chris, Gonzaga beat Duke this year with Zion. I said, great.
Yeah, I know.
They lost to UNC in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find out what his point was in texting me that. Kentucky doesn't deserve a one seed.
No, they shouldn't be a number one seed.
I'm sorry. They're in the WCC.
They've had better scheduling since they got good.
Joke of a conference.
About 15 years ago when they started to get good, they've had better out-of-conference
absolute
records.
Joke.
And no, they should not be a number one seed this year.
I'm going to give you guys a winner tonight. I feel pretty good about this one. Bad board tonight. I really don't like it. A lot of games, but a lot of weird numbers hanging out there.
Yes.
I don't like it. But I'm going to go to the SEC tournament, and I'm more betting against somebody than I am betting on somebody tonight.
Really?
Yes. Lay the 3.5 for Texas A&M against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt 0-18 in the SEC this season. I don't think they're going to get their first win tonight. They just lost to Texas A&M a couple weeks ago. Vandy's one of the worst teams in the country. Like, they'd be the last seed in the A-Sun tournament as well. I think Stetson beat them, actually.
Yep.
So, I don't think that's actually true. But, I'll lay the 3.5, and I'll roll with the Aggies over the...
And I got breaking news.
I'll try to keep
up. What do you got?
Wilbert Robinson caught the grapefruit. It exploded in his mitt. It knocked him down and drenched him in warm juice. And he thought he was bleeding and dying from the stunt. But he did make the catch. There you go,
Two
Faith.
Last thing. One, I'm going to try to keep up with – I'm 4-1 in my picks. I'm going to try – because I just want to keep up with you.
Let's go.
Providence -1.
All right, that'll do it, everybody.
Over Butler.
For Chris. For Pete Shepard.
Shout out to Phelan.
Phelan. Happy
Craig
birthday,
Sheeman.
Young lady.
I'm just doing God's will.
Phelan.
God bless America, everybody.
Phelan.